May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 178. Abundance of good folk I find, a gathering goodness for the wind to scatter it about. They seek with human care and skill their vessels with good wine to fill, but all the wine leaks out. 178.
Oh,
The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, Swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thine head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be, yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbour, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, in thy sovereignty thou hast once again brought us into thy courts here. Now we do pray that we may be as dear John of old, and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And oh, may thy Spirit, dear Lord, rule our spirit, and may we have the mind and the Spirit of Christ. and be truly humbled in the dust. Oh, we do pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt rend the heavens and come down. We might be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet presence, both in our hearts and within these walls, and that we may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And O Lord, how we need thee to speak to our souls, for thou hast said, my sheep hear my voice. And oh, that we might each have that ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And oh Lord, we would come pleading the precious name of the dear Lord Jesus, that name that prevails above every name, that name that is suited to every sinner's case. And oh, we pray, dear Lord, that we might have that sweet access at the throne of grace. Oh, we come, Lord, as a poor, needy, helpless sinner. And oh, how we have to prove continually that without thee we can do nothing. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt grant us grace to humbly confess our many, many sins before thee. Oh, we pray for that real heart confession. We may truly feel and know the sin and vileness within, and come as the publican pleading for mercy. No, we would come with the dear hymn writer when he said, mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Oh, how we need thee, dear Lord, to grant to us that real godly repentance thou dost give to thy dear people. Oh, that we may truly repent as dear Job did, and when he said, I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that we may be washed from all our sin and guilt. Oh, do help us to come like the dear hymn writer when he said, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Oh, may it please thee to convey to our inmost souls that sweet pardon and peace, the forgiveness of all our sins, our many transgressions, and oh, that we may be clothed in that glorious robe of righteousness which thou hast wrought out, that faith puts on, the righteousness of God. Oh, do wean us, Lord, from ourselves. Wean us from this world. And oh, may we be drawn to thy dear feet. We would pray with the spouse of old when she said, draw me, and we will run after thee. May we know more and more of the sweet drawings of thy love. O Lord, we mourn so often that our love is so cold and so faint. Oh, that we could love and praise Thee more. And oh, we pray that Thou would increase our faith, dear Lord. We mourn so often we are so faithless and plagued with unbelief. And oh, we do pray, dear Lord, that stronger faith, and that faith to believe even to the saving of our souls. For Thou hast said, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, we pray to have a true, real religion, Lord, that Thou art the author of, the finisher of. May we not be satisfied with just the letter of the truth or a head knowledge of it. But may we be amongst those that are truly born again. And we need the quickening of Thy Spirit, Lord. For none can keep alive his own soul. Oh, that we may be quickened and made alive. Alive to our solemn standing before Thee as a poor, needy sinner. Alive to our need of Thee and of Thy mercy. And of Thy precious blood. And oh, that we may have in us, Lord, that real hunger for the truth, a real appetite for Thee and for Thy word. Oh, Lord, Thou hast said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And oh, we pray, dear Lord, that Thou wilt prepare us each for Thy will. We know not what a day or a moment will bring forth. And oh, that we may be ever ready, waiting for Thy coming. And oh, Lord, may it be well with us while life endure, and well when called to die. Oh, do make us right, dear Lord, and keep us right. Teach us all that we need to know. And oh, that we may ever be humbled at Thy dear feet. Oh, do give us grace to endure to the end, to hold on our way. Do make us, Lord, steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We commit to Thee, Thy dear people. Lord, Thou knowest how each one has gathered. Nothing is hid from Thee. The thoughts, the intents of our hearts are all seen by Thee exactly as they are. And oh, we pray that those that truly seek Thee shall find Thee. Who hasten the hour, Lord, when they shall find Thee, as the spouse did of old, I have found him whom my soul loveth. And O Lord, do remember those that are troubled by many things, both in their souls and in their pathways. We pray that Thou wilt be with them in it all. For Thou hast said, I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him. And oh, may there be many brought into sweet deliverance, Lord, from their sin and from all the troubles of the journey, and set free. And do remember those that are bound and shut up. Lord, there are many things to bind us, to bring us into bondage. But, oh, we pray that thou wilt loose thy people. And as thou didst loose Lazarus and let him go, we pray there may be in these dark and solemn days many loosed and set at liberty, that they may be able to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. We do seek, dear Lord, that thou wilt bless those in affliction's pathway, or those with us that have their afflictions, their weaknesses, many things to exercise them and burden them. We pray that thou wilt sanctify all these afflictions, and if it be thy holy will, oh, do send that needed healing and restoring. Lord, the power's thine. Ever keep us from limiting thy power. But, oh, that thou wouldst manifest thy power this day, and that the word we have read may be applied with power, and those sacred hymns that we sing may be applied to us with power, Lord. If it would please thee to help us to preach a few things, that thou wilt apply it with power. For power belongeth unto God. And, O Lord, do remember the dear children, the little ones, and preserve and keep them, watch over them. And may they in early days be brought like Samuel to hear thy word and to hear thy voice. And oh, may those truths taught them in the Sabbath school enter into their young hearts and abide with them, and in days to come they may be able to declare it. And Lord, do bless the dear young people. Help those that need thee in their schooling, in their college life, Lord, in university, and those in work. And oh, that thou wouldst guide them and direct them and help them to look to thee in all things, to cast all their cares upon thee. And may they have the sweet assurance that thou carest for them. Guide them and direct them in the way thou would have them to go. And may they cleave close to thee and to thy truth and thy people and thy ways. Do bring back the prodigals, Lord. Many have forsaken Zion's ways. Oh, we pray there might be a blessed returning. There may be those yet brought to truly fear thy holy name, to love thee and adore thee. And oh, do remember any, Lord, that need thee maybe in some special way, and help the dear parents, Lord, in bringing up their offspring, to grant them wisdom and grace and help and strength. And, oh, do remember, Lord, each one for good. And do help the deacons here and give them all needed wisdom and grace and help in all the affairs concerning thy cause. And we pray thou would add to the church, as thou hast promised, daily such as should be saved. Lord, these are the characters we long for thee to bring here and in our own flock at home and throughout Zion, those that shall be a gracious asset to the churches. And we pray for our own flock as they gather today, who helped them in the deacons in the reading service this morning, and to, Lord, thy dear servant this afternoon. And may it be a good day in thy courts, a day of the Son of Man upon the earth. Remember Zion, and we pray that many may be born again in these dark days, and there may be a filling of the empty seats with hungry souls, crying, "Give me Christ, or else I die." We beg of thee to work, Lord, to grant a gracious reviving and building up, and may thy dear servants be graciously anointed to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, and may there be that real fruit to follow. Do have mercy upon the nation, Lord, and hear the prayers of thy people for thy appearing. May thy fear and grace be in our Queen and the royal family and our Prime Minister and those in government. They may turn to thee and seek thy will and thy mind in all the affairs of this nation. And may all the workers of iniquity and sin and evil be put down, all the enemies of the truth. Thou hast said thou would overturn and overturn. And oh, we pray thou wilt in this land, or those that would take the privileges we're favoured with from us, and or those that hate thy holy name. Do remember now us for good, and grant, we pray, that needed help as we turn to thy holy word. We pray for that gracious anointing, for without thee we can do nothing. May that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. And oh, may there be a true spirit of hearing. Oh Lord, may it never be said here, or in our own flock, the word profited them not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Do help us to praise thee for all thy many, many mercies. We would not let them lie, forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. And we would praise thee for the harvest and all thy goodness to us, in spite of all our sin and the sin of the nation. Thou dost still open thy hand and provide to the need of thy people. Now, O Lord, do help us to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. Do pardon what we've uttered amiss, all our many, many sins. Accept us in the Beloved. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 515. Holy Ghost, we look to thee. Raise the dead, the captive free. From the mighty take the prey. Teach the weak to watch and pray. 515.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. This chapter is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount that the Lord Jesus wonderfully delivered. And it is left on record unto this moment of time and will be to the end of time. And throughout it are some very searching and solemn things which were very needful, not only as warnings to those that knew not the Lord Jesus, but they were solemn warnings to those that did know him. And the same applies in this solemn day in which we live. We need continually to take heed to what he said. But too, of course, there are those blessed encouragements to seeking exercise, children of God. Now, the Lord has laid this upon me, and I seek heavenly wisdom and guidance to bring it before you. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. The exhortation here is very clear. Not only to go the first mile, but to go the second. And you know, really, that's what the Lord has wonderfully done throughout his word. There's some blessed occasions which I want to name as helped, where the Lord continually went the second mile. And we would look at it firstly concerning the Lord going the second mile with his dear people, and then I want to bring it home to us. Do we go the second mile? Well, we think first of all of the Lord speaking to his dear people. He always goes the second mile. And let me prove it to you through three occasions in the Word of God. Firstly, you think of the case of Saul of Tarsus. He was a man that was brought up under the law and knew the letter of the truth in every detail. A well-taught, natural man. But he hated the real things of God. And he hated the Lord. And so what did the Lord do? He was to go the second mile with this dear man. Why? Because the Lord loved him. He didn't love what he was doing as an enemy or against God's people or against the Lord. but he loved him with an everlasting love. And when he spoke to Saul on that Damascus road, he went the second mile. And what I mean is this. When he spoke to him, he didn't just say, Saul. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The Lord enforced it with divine power. And that dear apostle, you know, was to never forget that occasion. The Lord went the second mile with him. Thus far shalt thou go, Saul, and no further. And what a mercy it'd be if the Lord were to do that today. That there may be many brought, like Saul of Tarsus, to fall before the majesty of heaven, to weep and confess his sin and mourn over them before the Lord. And you'll find in him a wonderful desire. And let us look in our hearts. Do we know what it is for the Lord to go the second mile with us? Firstly, in stopping us in our mad career like he did Saul. But secondly, to give that fervent desire which the Lord put in the heart of Saul of Tarsus. You see, by nature, and that's in us each, we've no stones to cast at Saul. By nature, all we want is have our way and have our will. But what did the Lord do? He knocked all that out of him. And as the Lord went the second mile, he knocked it all out of him. And he brought him to this. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He fell under the sovereign power of Almighty God. Do you know and do I what it is to fall under his power? And have to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? All he wanted to do was the Lord's will now. As the Lord had gone that second mile in bringing him as a repenting sinner before the Lord, seeking for mercy. So the Lord went the second mile with the dear man. And then we would look to at the case of little Samuel. Any of you dear children will know that wonderful case, how the Lord spoke to the child in his early days. You know, he couldn't understand the voice that spoke to him in that night season. He thought it was Eli that called him. And he goes to Eli, but Eli had not called him, it was the Lord. But you see, Samuel knew not the Lord at that time. And Eli commands him to go and lie down. And then the Lord speaks to him again and again. The final time the Lord spoke to him, he went the second mile. And what did he say to Samuel? Samuel, Samuel. You see, the Lord enforced it with almighty power. And you know, he had to say, didn't he, then, speak, for thy servant heareth. And he fell under the power of that word, Samuel, Samuel. The Lord went the second mile with the dear lad. And may there be many in this dark and solemn day, the Lord go the second mile with us. and with our children and grandchildren, with you, dear young ones, and us that are older here, like he did to Samuel. You say, the Lord Jesus said, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And you look how, just like Saul, Samuel was brought to do what the Lord commanded, not what he wanted to do, or what Eli wanted him to do. And the Lord told Samuel a very solemn and searching message of what he would do to the sons of Eli, because of the sin they were in and the solemn position they were in regarding the house of God. You see, nothing escapes the Lord's sight. He saw Samuel there. He saw Eli, and he saw Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and all the sin they were in, and yet professed to be servants of the Lord. How close we can come. May this word search me, how do we stand in it? You see, our text says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile. The Lord compelled with almighty power Saul of Tarsus. And he did with Samuel. And he will with the child of God today. He has all power to compel, you see. Man may compel thee to do this or do that. But what we need is the Lord to compel us, whatever step it may be in. But then the third case I would just briefly name is the case of Abraham. You know, Abraham, he feared God. He loved the Lord. And Abraham had had to wait many years for the fulfillment of the promise which the Lord had given him. You remember that Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and they had no offspring. And yet Abraham had been given by God a wonderful promise many years before. As he looked into the starry heavens, and some of you may look up sometimes on a clear night and see all those stars. And Abraham did. And the Lord spoke to him from heaven. And he said to him, as he looked at those stars in the heavens, so shall thy seed be. And yet there they were in old age and weakness. The promise still stood. There may be one of you today that have got a promise, and yet it looks like it did with Abraham, dead and buried. Impossible. And it was with Abraham, it was with Sarah. But it wasn't impossible with their God, was it? Well, in the fullness of God's time, the Lord gave Abraham and Sarah the fulfillment of the promise, and Isaac was born. But after some years, the Lord put Abraham's faith to the test. And if you and I have got a grain of living faith, we heard a little of it yesterday, that's God-given faith, that must be tried. It must be proved. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Grace, faith, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. It's got to be proved, you see. There's many false faiths around today. And it's so easy for us to think we've got faith and yet know nothing of living faith at all. Well, Abraham had got a real faith, and that faith was to be proved. And you go into chapter 22 of the book of Genesis. What did the Lord command Abraham to do? He compelled him to take up Isaac to Mount Moriah and offer him up as a sacrifice before the Lord. And Abraham obeyed. You think how hard it must have been, naturally speaking. But for faith given to Abraham, he believed the Lord would appear. And Abraham did exactly what the Lord told him. Now, poor soul, if you do exactly what the Lord tells you, I don't mean what you think you should do or any man thinks you should do. What the Lord commands, Abraham did it, and the Lord honoured him. But he offers up Isaac, he puts him on the altar, bound. He takes the knife to slay Isaac. And what did the Lord do? Here we see the Lord went the second mile. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, saying, and listen, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. And see how the Lord went the second mile. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Oh, how the Lord went that second mile with dear Abraham. Firstly, in speaking to him. Secondly, in appearing for him. And you know, what does that ram set forth just briefly? None other than the dear Lord Jesus. You see, the ram was caught up by its horns in the thicket. The Lord Jesus, and I speak it with much reverence, was caught up in covenant engagements to be offered in the room, state and place of his dear people. So we see here, the Lord Jesus could well say, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. But what about us? Before I come to that, let me just use a few further illustrations of this. Firstly, and I speak this with profound reverence, you think of the dear Lord Jesus in his sufferings and in his agonies, how he went the second mile to redeem his dear bride. Oh, he did. And may we each have the sweet assurance in our souls, and do we long for it, that he suffered, bled and died for us. And I tell you what, poor soul, if you have a little taste of it, it'll melt the hardest marble of your heart. Is your desire with the hymn writer, was it for crimes that I have done? He suffered, bled and died. And you want to know that, don't you? And the Lord, the day will come when he will go the second mile and sweetly assure you of this. Oh, he will. And that's a wonderful thing. And then you look how the Lord Jesus, and he mentioned it here in this too case, but you think of when he was reviled. What a lesson there is in this to us. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. You think of that lesson, we need to learn it continually. Men may revile us, men may, as we read, may persecute us. Many Christians are being persecuted as we speak here, no doubt today, throughout the earth. But oh, to give the other cheek, to go the second mile. He said here, didn't he? But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Our old nature would immediately kick, wouldn't it, if we were smitten on one cheek? But you think how lovingly the Saviour said this. He was willing to go the second mile to give the other cheek. And we should be as well. And then he said, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Well, let us look at it regarding each of us. Are we willing in all things to go the second mile? Let us firstly look at it concerning the ministry. You know, and I speak this personal note, many years ago now, when I was pastor at Ashwell and working full time, when the engagement time came in July, several people said, well, you should give up not preaching, you know, so much, you should cut down on it all. And there was that in me that thought, well, perhaps I should. And you know, I went to my bureau at home when we lived at Steeple Morden, and I was just going to open it, and the Lord spoke to me. I was thinking about how shall I write these letters and tell the causes I shall not come. And the Lord spoke these words to me. Give thyself wholly unto it. You know, I've never forgot it. And I hope I can truly say over the nearly 52 years, I've always been willing to spend and be spent. Sometimes had to go in ever so much weakness. But I hope the Lord has laid it in my heart to go the second mile. Something for you may be in something today where the Lord's given me this text. Don't just go the first mile, but go the second too. Give thyself wholly unto it, you see. And the Lord showed me that's exactly what I got to do. As regarding the ministry, it troubles me in this day in which we live, and I'm not knocking anybody, but that some of our younger ministers think, well, we must give up work and we must go wholly into the ministry. Now, that may be the Lord's command to them. I know not. But when we think Paul was a tent maker as well as a searching minister of the gospel, and, you know, really, we should always go the second mile. Oh, we should. Even if it means working hard to provide for our families and that. We know the Lord can provide, and I proved it over the years. But you think of it today, you see, many of our old servants of God in days past worked all their life. And some of them had a pastorate to contend with and supply ministry throughout the land. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. But then I want to bring it home to the house of God. You know, this is... search me considerably. You know, many say, well, we can't go to this service, we can't go to that. Are they not willing to go the second mile? We were only talking last evening of a dear lady. I was asked to take her funeral. She was deaf and dumb in one of our chapels. But you know, every time the doors of the sanctuary were open, she was there. Now, she could have had the excuse, well, I can't go because I can't hear anything and I can't say anything. But she was always there. And when I was asked to take her funeral, I thought, whatever shall I say? And the Lord made it so clear to me. He spoke those precious words to me. Unto you that fear my name. You see, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And a book of remembrance was written for them that feared the Lord. And then this word, and them that thought upon his name. And you know, at that funeral address, I should never forget it. I spoke of how the Lord brings us to think upon his name. And you know that dear soul, you see, she was willing to go the second mile in attendance to God's house. And many in the village admired the dear lady for going. You see, she was made willing to go the second mile. And I thought so much, it's been with me since I rose this morning, of David in the Psalms. And what a lesson there is to us in it. In Psalm 87, and I often think of the word, you know, on a Lord's Day morning. In Psalm 87, he says this: the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. You know, many say, oh, well, it doesn't matter, I can stay at home, the Lord can speak to me there. He can, it's true. The Lord's not bound to means or places. But what has he said about the house of God? He loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. He loves the gates of Zion more. And this is why the child of God wants to be there. Because they want to know more and more of his love. More and more of his goodness. More and more of his mercy. He loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And then I thought of that beautiful desire in Psalm 84. Where David speaks about God's house. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul. Now look at your heart, your soul, mine this morning. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. And my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Living God. Oh, that desire there was in David, you see. One thing he said on another occasion, have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And then he tells us why. To behold the beauty of the Lord. Do you know what it is to have a little glimpse of the beauty there is in Christ by faith while in his house? And the beauty there is in his word. And the suitability it is to your poor soul. To behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire in his temple. And to inquire in his temple. Are you an inquiring soul in the temple of the Lord? Inquiring to know more of him. To hear more of his voice, to have sweet communion with him. He loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And then, of course, we have that word in Paul's letter to the Hebrews, where he speaks this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Well, I'll leave that for your prayerful meditation, you see. Are we willing to go the second mile? I think of some of the old saints, you know, out of Brighton, a lot of Sunday evenings, and some of the old saints from the home, you know, they come out as regular as the doors are open, if they're given strength. And I thought, what an example, you see. They're there because they, and one dear old lady said, I love to be here because I want to hear the Lord's voice. I want him to speak to my soul. She said, and there have been such sweet times that when the word is read or when it is preached, that it's life and power to me. They're willing to go the second mile, you see. So come back to this word, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. It seemed very confirming to me this morning. Our dear friend and brother read at the breakfast table that wonderful account of the man sick of the palsy. And really it confirmed my text, because you look, there he was, helpless, could do nothing, lie on that bed, sick of a palsy. No man could help him. You may say, what's he got to do with the text? Well, I'll tell you. You look at those four that carried him there. They couldn't get into the house. It was noise that Jesus was there. But they couldn't get into the house because it was full to capacity. They went the second mile. Look how strong their faith was. What did they do? They took him up onto the tiling of the roof and removed the tiles and let him down to the feet of the saints. And why did they do it? Because they believed the Lord would heal him. Oh, they did. They were willing, and because the Lord had given them such faith to believe, if they could but get him to the Saviour, he would heal him. And you look how beautifully the Lord did, didn't he? He went the second mile, the Lord did. Not only healed him, but forgave all his sin. You see, when the Lord Jesus dealt with the cases in the days when he was upon the earth, he went to the root of the trouble. And with that dear man, you know, the Lord went to the root of the trouble. It wasn't just his palsy that he had. It was the root of it, was his sin. You know, I've thought when being in Eastbourne Hospital many times, I have to go different times for many tests and different things. And, you know, I often think when I go along those corridors, it's all because of sin that this is. Afflictions are in this hospital, and my afflictions, all because of sin. And when the Saviour dealt with that dear man, he went right to the core of it. He forgave him of all his sin. And when the scribes questioned him concerning it, what did he do? He said, which is as easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk. And seeing their solemn state and their murmurings in them, he said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and walk. You know, the Lord went the second mile in delivering him. But look at the faith, and oh, what a lesson there is to us. Some of you, and I'll just tarry a moment on it, the Lord may have laid different ones, laid different ones upon you to pray for. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord lays in our heart a person to pray for. It may be one of our children, it may be nobody connected to us. But laid, you see, they were laid, those four that carried him had him laid in their heart to take him up onto that tile. Do you know what it is to go the second mile in prayer? Not only to pray for oneself, but pray for those that are laid upon you to pray for, and maybe pray for many others. And you're willing to go the second mile. And then we think of helping each other. I love that couplet of the hymn, you know. While we journey homeward, let us help each other in the road. Foes on every side beset us, snares through all the way strewed. It behoves us each to bear a brother's load. Are we willing to help each other in the road? I remember a dear friend of mine in Bedfordshire. She's now in glory, but, you know, when she was ill, her dear husband, he said to me, you know, we went to visit her and try and help them on different occasions. And her husband said to me, he said, you know, there are those that are willing to go the second mile in helping us. And I thought, what a lesson, you know. Oh, that we might be an example. You see, that's why I go back to the attendance in God's house. That's why I speak about the ministry, you see, and our walk and our lives. What example are we? You follow the pattern, poor soul, of the dear Saviour in all things. Because in following his example, we're setting a good example ourselves. Think of this text, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I must leave it because of the time, but there's so many ways we could look at this. And you look at the dear Redeemer, how, well, to use an illustration, I must leave it, but you think of the dear man that was journeying from Jerusalem to Jericho. Well, in the first instance, he was going the wrong way. He was going from the holy city to Jericho. we need to take heed to that. But secondly, he fell among thieves, and they stripped him of everything he had and left him half dead. What did the priest do and the Levite? They passed him by on the other side. They weren't willing to go the second mile, were they? Solemn, you know. You'd have thought the priest would have helped him, but no. The Levite would have helped him, but no. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And may we be that certain Samaritan. We know it has a far greater meaning, which I will set before you. It speaks of the dear Lord Jesus being the good Samaritan. He came where he was. He bound up his wounds and paid all the expenses of what it was going to cost for him to be cared for. You see, the Lord will go the second mile, but may we be given grace to go the second mile too. Now, I don't know why I brought this here, but you know, the Lord so laid it upon me and it searched me for a few days. But may we lay it to heart. If nothing this morning, I lovingly say I preach it to myself. Amen.
Collection last Lord's Day amounted to £755, and yesterday for the Oakington Building Fund to £1,920, for which we are truly thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 545. Truly that poor soul is just, who by faith in Christ can trust, in him live, upon him rest, as the Lord his righteousness. 545.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. Be with us through the rest of the day. Grant that needed help. And take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.